Hi, I'm Amy Halloran, Food Security Manager at Unity House with another Women in Grains Food Diary. With me today, all the way from the West Coast, is Mel Darbyshire, baker at Grand Central Bakery. Welcome, Mel.
Hey, Amy, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm really excited to talk to you about your life as a baker. So can you tell us a little bit about Grand Central Bakery for the people who don't know? Help us situate the bakery's position as a artisan bakery, and then eventually we'll get around to the local grain stuff.
Cool. Sounds fantastic. So Grand Central is kind of the founding mother of artisan bakeries in the Pacific Northwest. It was started way back in the early 80s, late 70s by Gwen Bassetti, who wanted to bring good rustic style bread to this part of the country. As they grew over the years, her kids got interested in the bakery, and they baked or delivered, and eventually they opened up the Portland, Oregon location. So we have locations in Seattle and Portland, and we do the whole range of kind of low, long-fermented artisan breads, full-scale vinoiserie program. We have retail cafes in each city that we sell bread and pastries to. We also do all our own food, so our soups and salads and all of that business we do ourselves. We work directly with farms for pretty much our whole food program. It fits with our mission, so all our meats and our cheeses and our vegetables, we're working directly with farms as much as possible, and that extends into our bread and baking program, where we'll work with local mills and basically whatever ingredient we can get direct sourced or local, then we're going to pursue that.
That's such an awesome goal. So sort of introducing a kind of bread and then diving into the local food and diving into the local grains was the progression.
Yes.
Yeah. And
exactly. Yeah.
And you started out as a
dishwasher.
Yeah. Here we go for inspiration and the muscle of self-training within a great system.
Yeah, so I started as a dishwasher because I just moved to Portland. My best friend worked for Grand Central Bakery, and I needed a job, and it seemed like the perfect place to land. And I was just, I'd never baked before, but I had some professional cooking background, and I was just really drawn to the bakers and what they were doing, and so I just harassed the head baker that the next job should be mine. So I worked my way through pastries and then got myself into the bread program and just totally resonated with it, loved everything about it, from the simplicity of it, flour, water, salt, yeast, to also the complexity of running, you know, production bakery. So took some classes and some courses. Grand Central is really supportive of promoting from within and encouraging people to kind of find their path to be the best. So really lucky to have landed at a company like Grand Central and basically just worked my way up the ladder, so the baking ladder, so to speak, or up the baguette. I don't know how you call that. But I worked in Portland for a good 10 years or so. And then I've been up at the Seattle location for 7 years now. And I came up here to kind of help get Seattle back on track. And during that time, we moved to a new facility, which I helped design and do the build out for, which I'm super proud of. And then now I got promoted to be the head baker for the whole company. So now I actually oversee both Portland and Seattle bread operations. So that's anything from all the sourcing that I do and working with these local mills, but also equipment, new product development, training, and then all the other fun stuff that goes along with that, like budgeting and HR. So the whole gamut of being a bread production manager.
That's great. I have toured said facility myself. And how many loaves do you guys make a day in the Seattle?
In Seattle. So currently our hearth loaf volume is anywhere from like 5,500 to 7,500 loaves per day.
Wow.
And obviously with a biggest swing heading into the weekend.
Yep. Yep. And tell me a little, or I can visualize all of this, but tell people a little bit about how people are involved in making bread at such a large scale. You know, I think when people hear that kind of number, they automatically think automation. But there's a lot of hands and humans in there. Can you describe their work a little?
Yeah, so one of the things I think that sets us apart is we're really committed to training our crew to be bakers. Oftentimes in larger scale facilities, you know, people get kind of stuck doing one task, and that's what they do. They're either shaping loaves, or they're loading ovens, or they're running equipment, and that's pretty much it. So they're, I call them widget movers. And so for us, because we're really committed to, you know, making the best bread possible, we train everybody to be bakers. So everybody learns every aspect of baking. So they'll get fully trained in the mix room, on the bench, they'll get trained on using the different ovens we have. So through the course of their work week, they're going to be working each of those stations. So it helps them actually understand the baking process, and that helps us with quality, because if you understand proofing and fermentation and mixing, then you're going to be a better baker and you're going to make a better judgment call at whatever station you're at. Also helps with people's bodies, as far as like ergonomics and keeping people healthy at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then as far as equipment, you know, we are large, and, you know, we're often looking for ways that we can do things easier. But as we've kind of grown and evolved, we've done a lot of testing with various larger pieces of equipment. We're really committed to if we can find something that can do what we do as well or better, then we're interested in pursuing that as a possible way to improve the quality of life within our, you know, within our baking scene. And if it can't, we're not interested. So we have, you know, found some ways to do buns and rolls at volume a little better. So we have a couple of bun and roll lines. And those really help with volume when you go from, like, you know, 500 buns to like 3,000 buns. Obviously, that's a lot of hand scaling. So the bun and roll lines completely make sense, and they actually do help with repetitive motion, injuries, and they make a really great product. And at volume, we actually can control the fermentation better by doing buns that way. We use hydraulic press dividers to help with some efficiency for scaling on the bench. And we have some automated loading systems on the oven. But each of those steps, we haven't taken away any of the skill of the baker. Like, you still have to be able to score well. You have to be able to make good judgment calls on fermentation. We've just taken away a little bit of some of the physical hardship of some of the baking, because obviously baking's it's a very physical job. And we haven't done anything that compromises what we consider to be high quality. So
that's what I love about it. You know, you think about, there's a lot of romance about everything being hand scale. In reality, our bodies have not really evolved from running around on all fours. So these,
right.
We have to preserve these forearms. We need them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
things like carpal tunnel and stuff, that's a real, it's a real concern for bakers. And so these are ways that we alleviate some of that, and we maintain quality. And like I say, we haven't taken away any of the skill of the baker necessarily.
Right. So you're serving both ends of making great bread and keeping great humans together.
Yes.
Yeah. Now let's get to your involvement with local grains.
Yeah. So we've been on this journey for quite some time now. I think the first time we started kind of looking at flour as different than just this kind of ingredient that got delivered and nobody really knew about it. We got more engaged in that process probably about 15 years ago when there was a new co-op of farmers came online called the Shepherd's Grain Cooperative. And basically that was a group of farmers who wanted to kind of pull themselves out of the commodity market, improve their growing practices, and be able to sell flour that could be directly linked to their farms. So that was really attractive to us, and so we worked with them, and the product was really good, and we were able to get it at volume, which is also another factor for us. So we made that shift to sourcing some of our white flour through them about 15 years ago in bread production. The pastry team came online a bit earlier. They had a little bit of an easier time making that switch using bag flour and just some of the different products they make. It was a little easier transition than it was for bread production. We're filling silos, so that's a little more challenging when you switch flour. And then from that, my big thing with the more local grains, as far as like whole grains, was I met Tom Hunton from Camas Country Mill at a Farmer Chef thing, and he was just getting going on his mill and starting to be able to sell wholesale, and he had these really cute 5-pound bags of stone ground whole wheat flour, and I was like, sure, I'll check out your flour. And so that kind of bridged that, really, helped with that relationship, where I was like, okay, here's this new mill coming online. He's doing all the right things with agriculture, and he's just down the road from us in Portland. He's down in the Corvallis area. I'm like, we really need to support him. And so just did all the R&D and then worked with, my bosses to, like, do food cost analysis and all that stuff and be like, yeah, this is really the right decision. So then we switched from our commodity whole wheat to his stone ground whole wheat. And then just as he's grown and developed new products, we've just slowly chipped away at, like, switching out our other varieties to varieties from him, which then led to some of the work I've done through the bread lab with Dr. Jones, bridging that relationship with the new mill up in Skagit Valley, Cairn Springs, and figuring out how to get those flowers into our product line. And so it just kind of expanded the horizons, and we're really fortunate in the Pacific Northwest that we have not only the bread lab, but also these two great new mills that are doing either stone ground local flours or the high extraction flours, which nobody in our area is doing right now. And just for me, it's like to be able to meet the farmer and the miller and then make this bread is like the full connection. Like, it really, for me on a personal level, kind of drives my passion to, like, support as many local farms as I can. Obviously, we're a big company and that has unique challenges, but the beautiful thing is we're able to do that as much as we can, and we have, like, the ownership group are fully supportive, and we kind of chip away at these varieties of grain, and as soon as we're able to do it, we make the switch. So it's kind of in this evolving process over, I say, like, the last decade, where I think, off the back of my hand, I think we're up to about 55 to 58% direct sourced ingredients, going from whether it's a white flour, whole grain flour, down to our honey. And then it looks like this year I'm going to get Oregon pumpkin seeds online for us.
Yum. I love it. I think it's so interesting to watch you from afar and, watch on Instagram as you play with new grains and to visit the bread lab and see some of the work that you've done with grad students in terms of testing things. Can you tell the story about the cookies in Pakistan? Do I have that right?
Oh, yeah. There was a grad student who was at the bread lab doing some analysis for her PhD, and she was working on the nutrition. I've been doing budgets on the nutritional value of millet and buckwheat as some alternate grains that could actually add more nutritional value to, like, regular products in Pakistan. So they've gone through that whole thing with the commercial food system where, back in the day, everything was stone ground whole wheat for their chapatis and roti and, local mills. And that's drifted with the drift of, I guess, the Western folks going over there. And now they're making a lot of that stuff fully automated. It's a lot of white flour, dough conditioners, the whole thing we've seen in like America and other parts of the world with the fully mechanized white bread. So that was her thing. Those are grains that grow well. over there. So she was looking at ways to incorporate them into everyday products that could be delicious and like you could get a kid to eat. So with Jeffrey Yankello, we worked on a bunch of products, and there was a buckwheat millet cookie. We did some whole grain roti, which had buckwheat flour in it and millet, and then a whole other slew of other products that we actually got to bake for Mr. Bill Gates, which was also very exciting because he was interested in what was going on up at the bread lab. And so we kind of all got together and kind of showcased all these different products. And that was a big part of, for the grad student and me was working on this with Jeff, this delicious cookie that you wouldn't really know it was whole grain and it had these alternate grains in it because it tasted so good. And if you can get a kid to eat it and deliver all those vital nutrients, then it's a win-win.
Win, win, win all around the world.
Yeah, all the way around. Yeah.
That's so amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, Mel, I think we don't have much more time to explore your gigantic world.
right.
I really wish I could have hours and hours to talk to you. But could we close with a reflection on the notion of women doing grain work and getting more notice in forums like this?
We've been in such some strange days, obviously as a woman just in the baking industry, that's had some challenges. It is still primarily in bread baking, considered a male profession, but there are more women who you see in a bakery of our size becoming more prominent or moving up the ranks, which I think is super exciting. In the whole grain world, I think there's a lot more women who are really driving change from some of the local mills that are online down in California to the work that's happening in the Midwest. I think there's a lot of women who are really driving this movement, and for some reason, we float under the radar. It is shifting. I just sat on a panel at the Cascadia Grains Conference in January, and it was the first time I sat on a panel that was all women.
Awesome.
And it was basically just about baking and local flour. It was a pretty broad scope panel, and I was like, oh my god, like I've sat on so many panels, and usually I'm like, oh, it's me and the boys. So that was super encouraging, and I think that I think we just have to talk more, maybe talk a little louder. I think things like you're doing are really great to kind of push the light on women that are doing such great work around the country with whole grains. And I think, just kind of keep that momentum going, because there's a lot of us and we're doing incredible work and we're actually doing the work. We're not talking about the work. And I think that's what's making change in these kind of regional grain economies.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Mel Darbyshire of Grand Central Baking, for chatting with me. This has been Amy Halloran with another food diary focusing on women and grains.